and turn your attention to the book of Revelation, chapter number 1. We're going to start at verse number 9, Revelation chapter 1. Verse number 9 says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. If you turn with me additionally to Acts chapter number 16. Acts 16, verse 23. Said, when they laid many stripes upon them, talking about Paul and Silas, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I want to speak to you this morning on just a simple subject that God laid upon my heart, finding purpose on Patmos. Would you lift your hands one more time and ask God to just be with us over these next few moments as His Word goes forth. God, we need You here today. Lord, You've already moved into this sanctuary. We feel Your presence, God, here today. You've moved in our worship, God, today. But now through the speaking of Your Word that's anointed, it's already God-breathed. I pray, Lord, that You would bring clarity to somebody's mind today, that You would bring direction to somebody's steps today. We need You, Lord. We need to hear Your voice. Lord, bless it today. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. Finding purpose on Patmos. I don't know anybody here today that would say that they love being uncomfortable. Some people enjoy, kind of in a weird way, uncomfortable settings, awkward settings. I'm not one of those people. I know there are some. But we don't like to be uncomfortable as a rule. We don't enjoy being uncomfortable. We don't enjoy being in pain. We don't enjoy suffering. We just don't like that kind of stuff. And that's kind of a common theme among humanity. We don't like suffering. We don't like being uncomfortable. I was reminded of this over the last couple days at our men's campout, which, by the way, we had an incredible time. And I hope that next year we triple our numbers. We had so much. If you were able to come, raise your hand real quick. Yeah, it was an awesome time. We had so much food. We left with food because we didn't have time to cook it all. We had a great time camping, and I really do hope we can have an even bigger group next year. It's a great time of fellowship. But I'm reminded about how much I enjoy being comfortable when I'm not comfortable. Listen, a few years ago, I bought a nice cot. Actually, I didn't buy it. I got it as a Christmas gift from my in-laws. And I remember, it's been a few years since I've used it, but in my mind, I thought it was really comfortable. But when I set it up and the tent was kind of leaning one way or the other and it wasn't quite level and I didn't bring the right stuff to put on it, it wasn't super comfortable about 2:30 in the morning. I think I grabbed one of my daughter's sleeping bags because I didn't fit in the sleeping bag. And I didn't have anything underneath it to make it more comfortable. And I was tossing and turning. Now, I did figure out as I was tearing it down yesterday that I didn't set it up right. And that might have been part of the problem. But it was uncomfortable sleeping on a cot when I'm used to sleeping on a bed that you can raise your head up when you're ready and put it back down and raise your legs up when you want to and put it back down. Can't do that on a cot at 2:30 in the morning in a tent. I was uncomfortable. Some of us were so uncomfortable that they left halfway through the night to go sleep in their own bed because it was so uncomfortable and came back the next morning. That's just, you know, we enjoy things being comfortable. Some people brought campers because they couldn't even think about sleeping in a tent. Others who used to always tent camp chose to sleep in the camper because they didn't want to sleep in a tent. I'll leave all those names unread. We don't like being uncomfortable. When we're put in uncomfortable situations, we usually try to find the quickest way out of those uncomfortable situations. When we get in a bind, we try to figure out a way to get out of it. That's our first instinct. And we like to ask things like, why am I here? Listen, in our walk with God, we get into some uncomfortable situations where it's not easy. It's not something that we can do readily. It's a hard thing sometimes in our walk with God. And we tend to ask questions like, why am I here? Why is it me that's in this uncomfortable situation? I can think of a whole lot of other people that should be in this situation, but why am I in this situation? What did I do to deserve to be in this situation? It's just not fair. How many have ever said that, either out loud or in your prayer time? It's not fair that I'm in this situation. Anybody honest enough to raise your hand and say, God, I don't think it's fair that I'm going through this. That's our instinct. We don't like to be in things that are uncomfortable. We like to find ways out quickly. But I want to talk to you today, and it won't take me very long to get to my point. And I want to just share with you what I feel like God put upon my heart. And in our scripture text today, we find John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, and we find Paul and Silas in prison. Both of those instances were places that were not comfortable. There was not a five-star rating on the prison for Paul and Silas. It wasn't there. In fact, the Bible tells us that before they were put in that prison, they were beaten. And then when the jailer was tasked with keeping them in the prison, he put them in the innermost prison and put stocks and bonds. So their feet and their legs were captured in some sort of irons or maybe perhaps wood stocks. And their back was beaten, and I'm sure they didn't treat that. I'm sure they didn't give them some nice cooling salve to put on their back. They're just in the middle of a prison. And here's the important thing to note. They weren't there because they did something wrong. They were there because they preached Jesus Christ. They were there because they were doing exactly what they were called to do and exactly what they should have been doing. So they had every right, humanly thinking, they had every right to question God. God, you told us to go. You gave us the instruction to go preach. You told us to go reach our world. You told us what to preach. We did it, and now our backs are beaten and we're in prison in stocks and bonds. I'm sure that the thought at least crossed their mind to have a prayer and say, God, it's not fair.
It's not fair.
Why am I here? But that's not what they did. In those moments of uncomfortability, in those moments that seemed unfair to them, no doubt in their carnal thinking, the Bible says, and at midnight, so at the middle of the night, in the middle of their prison sentence, in the middle of what they were going through that nobody else would want to take on, in the middle of all that, not when they were coming out the other side, not when the jailer came and said, hey, it's your time is up and here's the key to get out the door. That's not when this praise happened. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. In the middle of their situation, in the middle of their being uncomfortable, in the middle of what they did not deserve, they chose, instead of being frustrated with God, instead of being upset with the circumstances, they said, you know what, God, you're still worthy. As much as you were yesterday when I was preaching you in the central square, you're still worthy today at midnight in this jail cell. And it didn't change the fact that you're worthy, so I'm going to worship you anyways. When's the last time our praise mentality went to that level? Because John the Revelator is the same situation. He's on the Isle of Patmos, a little island full of rocks that was 5 miles wide and 10 miles long, and it was 35 miles away from the mainland. There was no way he could get back there. Stuck. Why? Because he was a disciple and he wouldn't renounce Jesus Christ. In fact, they tried to kill him, boiling him in oil, and it wouldn't work. Boiling him in oil. You would think that would be enough to say, okay, I'll back off a little bit of what I'm teaching, but he wouldn't do it. And so they said, okay, we've got a place for you. We're going to put you out here on Patmos. We're dropping you off. There's no way you can come home. It's basically a prison you can't get out of. And so there's John, because he was doing the right thing, because he was living for God, because he was carrying out the call of God on his life. He finds himself in a very uncomfortable situation. But we don't read in Revelation that John began to question God, that John began to be angry with God. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, it tells us that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That tells me that John said, you know what, I don't love my circumstances. It's not great here. This is not a resort of any kind. But God's still worthy on Patmos, just like he was in Jerusalem. God is still worthy of praise on this rocky island just as much as he was when he fed the 5,000 and performed miracles. So I'm going to get in the spirit on the Lord. What I'm trying to get across to you today is we've got to make up in our mind that he's still worthy of praise regardless of circumstances. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And what we get really, well, this is our struggle. We love to come down and praise God, and we love to worship him when everything's going right. But we get one curveball in our walk with God, and all of a sudden, we're sitting on the back row. We're not coming to church. We're frustrated with everybody. We're offended at every little thing because we're not giving God praise in the hard times. Well, I was going to do everything for you, God, but you put me here, and now it's not fair, and so I'm going to sit here until you fix this problem. I'm just not going to do anything anymore. If this is where you put me, then I'm just going to sit down. That's not what's displayed in Scripture. Paul and Silas didn't just sit there and say, well, I didn't deserve this. This is terrible. So I'm just going to sit here until they let me out. God, you abandoned me, so I'm going to stop. And they said, no, it doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. I may not like or enjoy what's going on in my life, but it doesn't change the fact that God's still worthy of praise. It doesn't change the fact that he's still worthy of my adoration and my honor, so I'm going to give him praise. And we know the endings of this story. We understand, if you've been in Sunday school at all, you understand the Bible says in that midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises under God, and the prisoners heard them. First of all, our response in uncomfortable situations is not so much only for us, as it is for somebody else around us. Those prisoners had no idea probably what they were even in there for, but they began to hear something that they didn't normally hear in the prison. Normally you hear grumblings and cursings and frustrations. This wasn't that. This was a different sound. It was worship and it was praise. And the Bible says the place was shaken where they were, and every prisoner was freed. Every gate flew open. And because of Paul and Silas's ability to praise God in an uncomfortable situation, there was freedom involved. And not just freedom for themselves. The Bible says when they came out of those doors, the jailer thought everybody had escaped. And Paul said, no, don't hurt yourself. He was going to kill himself because it was his charge that he was given to keep them safe. He said, no, we're all here. And he began to teach to him and preach to him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that day, the jailer and his family, his whole house was saved because Paul and Silas were willing to praise God in an uncomfortable situation. We get so self-centered sometimes. We get so self-absorbed when we get hurt and when we get wounded and we get put in places we don't think we should be, that all we can focus on is us. And God's saying, hey, I can use this for my glory. If you'll just step out with a little bit of faith in an uncomfortable situation, I can use you to change somebody else's life for my kingdom, for my glory, for my purpose, for my calling. But you got to get your eyes off of where you are and go focus them back on God. Okay, God, I don't love it. Ain't nobody in here love prison. Nobody in here wants to be on Patmos, but God, I'm still going to worship you, and if you can work it out, I know you're going to work it out. If you can use this for your glory, I know you'll use it for your glory. That's got to be our mindset, because John on the Isle of Patmos was not just there to wait out the rest of his days and die. God had a purpose on Patmos. He tells him a few scriptures later, a few verses down, he said, I want to show you something, John, and I want you to write it down in a book. And that book is what we read today as the book of Revelation. If John had not been willing to get in the Spirit on the Lord's day in an uncomfortable situation, we wouldn't be reading the same Bible we read today. We wouldn't see the things that John saw. We wouldn't understand the things that we understand today. Listen, sometimes it's not about you. Sometimes it's about the kingdom of God. And we've got to be willing to say, I'm going to praise you in the middle of a storm, of a prison, of a Patmos. I don't care what it is, God. I'm just still going to praise you. He was in the presence of God on the Lord's day. He was in the presence of God in the Isle of Patmos. He heard from God. You know you can hear from God when you're going through an uncomfortable situation. In fact, most times our hearing is a little bit better when we're going through an uncomfortable situation. Because most times when we're comfortable, when we feel like everything's going right and we're resting on our own talents and abilities, our ears aren't quite as open to the voice of God. But when he starts to get our attention with our circumstances, all of a sudden we can hear a little bit better when he begins to speak to us. Listen, the first thing I'm going to do in an uncomfortable situation is offer praise, and the second thing I'm going to do is start listening to the voice of God, because he's obviously got something he can share with me that day, that time, that season. I want to be in the middle of God's will, and if that means I'm going to be on Patmos for a little while, then okay, God, you speak to me on Patmos. If that means I'm going to be in prison for a season, okay, God, then you just speak to me in the prison, because it doesn't change my calling. It doesn't change what I'm asked to do. It doesn't change the fact that you're worthy of praise. Paul and Silas saved the jailer and his family. John was able to get insight into things that nobody else ever did for the book of Revelation on Patmos. He said, write it in a book. Listen, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that we're an epistle written and read of all men. John was physically writing a book. You and I are writing a book with our actions and with our words and with our demeanor and how we respond to things. And we're not the only one reading it. Everybody else around us is reading the book that God's writing in our lives, and we're writing with him. What book are they reading in your life? If everybody's reading the book that's being written by your life, what is it that they're reading? Are they reading of a shallow Christian that only worships when everything's going right and there's money in the bank? Or are they reading a book of someone who says, it doesn't matter what my bank account looks like and it doesn't matter what my situation looks like, my praise is going to be the common denominator in all things? What book are they reading in your life today? There's a purpose in Patmos. I'm sure John didn't see it when he got there. I'm sure John wasn't excited when he got off the boat. I'm sure John didn't really understand what was going on. But John had already made up his mind well before Patmos that he was going to serve God no matter what. If he had not already made up his mind, he would have pulled out way before when he had to try to get into a barrel full of oil and be boiled. If he wasn't already determined to live for God despite what was going on around him, that would have been a turning point in John's life. He'd have said, nope, I'm good. Not worth it to me. He would have already made that decision. But somewhere along the line, John made up his mind. It doesn't matter what you do to me. I'm still going to worship him. It doesn't matter what you do to my life and my flesh. It doesn't matter what you do. I'm still going to worship God, not because of what's going on around me, but because he's worthy. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 tells us, all things, everybody say all. All, totality, everything, all things work together for the good to them that are called, to them that are called according to his purpose, those that love God. All things. That eliminates the possibility of some things working together for good. It eliminates the possibility that just there's a few things work together for good. When he wrote this scripture, he said, listen, all things work together. That tells us that not just the good things, not just the blessings, not just everything that goes right, not just when we're worshiping God in a sunny season, not just those things, but all things. So when I'm on Patmos, all things work together. When I'm in prison, all things work together. When I don't know what tomorrow looks like, all things work together for them as long as you love God and are called according to his purpose. They all work together. Ugly things, beautiful things, things we don't like, uncomfortable things, all work together because God said, listen, that's not my design. I didn't design you to have to be in prison or design you to have to be in Patmos, but if you end up there, I can use that. I didn't design you to go through that hurt. I didn't make this happen. I didn't put this in my plan for you to go through this situation, but since you already have, I'm here with you and I can make it work. I can use all things for my glory. I can use everything according to what my will is for your life if you love me and if you're called. And every one of us is called. So the only variable in this situation is if we love him. Here's what I know. Brother Randy, you can help me with the music. Here's what I know. We're good at because of praise. We're good at that. I know Patmos is rocky. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it doesn't fit into your plan. I know it wasn't in your 5-year, 10-year, 15-year goals. I know that. But we're good with because of praise. What we're not so good with is in spite of praise. Because of praise, says God, you gave me a promotion. I can come to the front and I can worship and dance and shout because I've got more money in my check. Woo! That's because of praise. God, you healed my body or my family's body and you fixed the situation. Woo! I can worship you and live for you for 2 more weeks. That's because of praise. Nothing wrong with that. There needs to be because of praise. When God does a miracle in your life, absolutely. Lift your hands and worship and praise him. He's worthy of it. That's because of praise. What we struggle with, it's a praise that's more powerful than because of praise. It's in spite of praise. When you didn't get the promotion, in fact, you lost your job, but you can still walk into the house of God and say, "Woo, God, you're still worthy of my praise." That's in spite of praise. When you didn't get the answer you were looking for in the mail, and when it didn't happen in the hospital, and you can still look at God and say, "Lord, you're still worthy of my," that's in spite of praise. And there's so much more power and in spite of praise. Listen, Job, there was something about Job's worship when he got down through all those situations. He could worship God in the beginning because he had the most powerful of things in the entire earth, the best family, the best money, the best cattle. He could do a lot of because of praising. But when he got through all of those things being taken away and stripped away, and he had nothing, not even his health, his wife came to him and said, "There's no reason to praise him. You might as well curse God and die." How many of us would have said, "You're right. What do I have to praise him for? There's no because of praise left. There's no because of praise. My kids are gone. My cattle's gone. My money's gone. My friends are gone. My wife is telling me I need to curse God. There's no because of praise." But Job said, No. "Though he slay me, I'm still going to trust him." There's something powerful about an in spite of praise. You know why? Because of praise, the devil's not too worried about that. Anybody can praise somebody because they gave them something. That's why he told God when he was asking, like, "Hey, have you considered my servant Job?" The devil said, "Oh, you got a protection around him. He's going to praise you because you gave him everything." He said, No. "I'll take that fence off and we'll see what happens." There's substance to in spite of praise. There is revelation to in spite of praise. Revelation that says worship and praise is not about what I can have or get out of it. Worship and praise says, "God, you're worthy, whether I have no money or I have a lot of money. Whether I have everything fixed or everything's fallen apart, I can still praise you because it doesn't change the fact that you are the creator of all things. It doesn't change the fact that you spoke things into existence and breathed the breath of life into me. It doesn't change the fact that you hold my tomorrow in your hand, so I can worship you in a prison." In spite of praise opens up walls and doors that can't be opened up with because of praising. In spite of praise begins to open up revelation that doesn't get opened up because of praise. Don't get me wrong. We need to worship God for what he does in our life. But if that's the only time you worship him, you're missing out on the entirety of a walk with God. When you can say, "God, though you slay me, I'm going to trust you. I'm still going to worship you. I'm going to come in this house and worship God in spite of what's going on in my life." If you can get to the point of having in spite of praise, it ruins every plan of every deception that the enemy has for your life. Because he can't come in and say, "I'm going to take this. Now let's see what you'll do." "Well, I don't need to have that to worship God." "You can take everything else. I'm still going to worship God. You can take my money. If I don't have any money in the account, I can still worship God. You can't even take my voice. I can praise him. I've got a praise that's not reliant on things. I've got a praise that's not dependent on blessing. My praise is just given to him because he's worthy of it." And that kind of praise will open up doors in your life that you didn't even know were there. Somebody stand with me this morning. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what you're struggling. I don't know what you're dealing with. You might be on the mountain. You might be in the beginning part of Job where everything is going right. You should be praising God. But most of the time in our walk with God, there's something not quite right. There's something that's just not fixed yet. There's a need that's presented itself and that's uncomfortable. We don't like uncomfortable situations. But if our response to uncomfortable situations is not immediately, God, get me out of here. God, you got to fix this. God, you got to change this. If our response would just simply be praise. All right, God, I have no idea why I'm here. I don't know why this is going on in my health. I don't know why this is going on in my family. I don't know why this is going on in my ministry. I don't know why all this is going on. But what I do know, God, is you're still worthy. And my praise today is going to be the way, same as it was yesterday. Lord, I love you. All my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been good to me. All my life you've figured out a way. All my life you've taken all things and worked them together for good. All my life. And so I'm not going to stop now. Why would I stop now when I've seen you work? Why would I stop now when I've seen you heal? Why would I stop now when I've seen you provide? I'm not going to stop worshiping God in the middle of Patmos or in the middle of a prison because there's purpose there. And I'm going to stick around and figure out what God has for me. And in the middle of all that, my praise is going to still be your word. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. It doesn't change the fact of who he is. This is what I'd like to see today. I'd like for us to all just make our way to the altar this morning for just a few moments. And I wonder if we could just offer up some in spite of praise today. That's what I'm asking from you today. I'm just going to offer up in spite of praise. Lord, I don't understand this. I don't get it. I can't make the equation work, but I'm still going to give you some praise today because I know if I can put it in your hands and worship like they worship, you can open up doors that I can't even see right now. You can open up doors that I don't even know are there. And so I'm going to praise you in the middle of Patmos, in the middle of an uncomfortable situation. I'm going to praise you in the middle of a prison I don't even deserve to be in because I know you're still worthy. And I want to see what you can do with my life because you told me, God, all things work together. So I want to still be here when you're putting it, when you're putting that puzzle, the finishing touches. I want to see it. So I'm not walking away. I'm not stopping praising now. I'm going to worship you today. Come on, as they begin to sing, I wonder if you just lift your hands. It's just between you and God today. Nobody else is coming around. Nobody else is going to bother you. It's you and God in spite of praise. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You're worthy. Nothing's going to change that in my mind. I love you, Jesus. I've seen you move, God. I've seen you do it before. And I'm going to trust you in the middle of this prison. Come on, offer that up to him today. It's in spite of. Listen, devil, you're not going to get the satisfaction of taking my praise away. You're not getting the satisfaction of taking my worship. He's still worthy. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. Somebody's getting the revelation. He's still worthy. He's still worthy. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's twofold today. It's you. It's your walk with God that's affected first. But it's everybody else around you affected secondarily. Everybody else around you is reading the book that you're writing. Or an epistle written and read of all men, Paul said. Everybody else is reading the book. It's up to you what they're reading. Are we reading something of faith, of trust, of belief that's not shaken by circumstance? Or am I just reading a book about because of praise? I can praise God because he fixed it. I can praise God because he changed it. But are they going to see in a spite of praise individual that says, God's worthy? It doesn't matter. That's the end of the sentence. God's worthy. He's worthy of praise. If he doesn't change one more thing in my life, he's done enough for me that I can still praise him. I can still walk and live for him. That's what our goal is here this morning. I'm not saying we don't praise him for the victories. We need to praise him. When God comes through and fixes it and changes it, absolutely, there should be a song of praise on our lips. But that shouldn't be the only time.
We should have been praising him long before that ever happens, long before the answer arrives in the mailbox, long before the situation fixes itself through his hand, long before that. Our praise should not be shaken or changed. We should be praising God through it. Like, I'm just excited to see how you fix this, God. I don't see how. I can't figure it out, but I'm in the inner prison. My back's kind of hurting. I can't get out and even lift my hands, so the only thing I've got left is my voice. So I'm just going to worship God, and I'm just excited to see what you're going to do. That's our mindset. I don't know how it's going to work. How's God going to do it? I don't know how God's going to do it. I couldn't figure it out if I had to, but I'm excited to see how. So I'm going to worship today. I'm going to praise. That's our mindset. We trust that he's going to. It's his victory anyways. It's for his good anyways. So we trust him. We trust him. You lift your hands this morning. I love you, Jesus. Lord, what a challenge from your word. God, when things aren't going the way we want them to go, it's not an easy thing, God, for our mindset to be stayed on you. I know the challenges that we face, God. I know those are in this room, the challenges that they have faced. It doesn't make those challenges less real or less daunting. For sure, God, we deal with things in our lives, and we deal with things in situations that we don't understand. But God, I want my mentality to be, and our church mentality to be, God, we love you and we worship you in spite of. If things aren't going right, I still love you and I still worship you. When I can't figure out the way out, I'm still loving you and I'm still worshiping you. So when it does work out, I'm ready to just continue on praising you. When it does fix itself and the situation comes together, I'm just still going to worship you because I've been doing it from the beginning. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I trust you, God. I trust your plan. I trust your timing. I trust everything about it, God, even when I can't see it, because all things work together for good. I thank you for that promise today. I pray, God, that you would move on situations in this room. I pray that you would move on relationships and situations and marriages and finances. Lord, we do pray for miracles. But while we're waiting for those, we're not going to sit down. We're going to keep worshiping. We're going to still keep praising. We're still going to keep believing because we know you hold tomorrow in your hands. You know the end from the beginning and nothing is hid from you. So we trust you. We trust you. We trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Let this be your mindset. If it wasn't already, I want you to make a point tomorrow morning when you get up to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. It might be a little cloudy. It might be a little stormy. But this is the day the Lord has made. And I'll rejoice and I'll be glad in it. Because if he made this day and he knew I was walking through it, he'll make a way for me to get to tomorrow. And so I trust him. I trust him. I trust him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just feel this in my spirit today. I don't know how to give this to you any better than what I've already done. But some of you are walking some hard roads. Some of you are walking through situations you never dreamed you would be walking through. Some of you are dealing with finances that you didn't see coming. I know all of that is there, and I'm not downplaying those things. Please hear me today in the heart that I'm preaching this with. I'm not downplaying those. I'm just uplifting him. I'm not saying those aren't real and hard. I'm just saying anything is possible. I'm saying he's able. He's able to do whatever needs to be done. And so my praise is not based upon, it's not predicated upon my circumstances. It's predicated upon who he is. When things are going great, he's still worthy. When things don't go great, that's even more so a time where I say, God, he's not getting my praise. You're still worthy. You're still worthy. And watch what God will do in your life. Watch the doors that he will open. Watch the healing and the victory that will come by just saying, I trust you. In the middle of a storm, God, I trust you. Amen. God's able to. Somebody say, God's able.
God's able.
God is able. God is able. That's our marching orders today. God is able. And so I trust him. I believe in it. Hallelujah. I just feel challenged in my spirit today. And I pray that you are too, to say, okay, getting my eyes off of this, and I'm going to put it on you. I'm getting my eyes off of the situation, and I'm putting it on you, because I know that you can lead and guide me where I need to go, and you can, in your timing, God, can take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. And Lord, bless you today.